joining us on the line, Jimmy Vielkind, covering state politics for the Wall Street Journal. Jimmy, you know, last week it seemed like there was a lot of momentum heading into lawmakers returning to Albany to strip the governor of his emergency powers, or at least scale them back somewhat. Here we stand now, though, a week later, and it appears that either the momentum has been lost or it's been stalled or something like that. What's gone on in the last week on that front when it comes to those executive powers?
I think what we saw is that an idea and a statement are not the same things as passing an actual law. What happened was Democrats who control the state Senate put forward one proposal. It would have created a panel that would have ability to review some of those executive orders. Democrats in the Assembly looked at it and said, I don't know if that's the best idea. They're talking about a proposal where the state would have to notify certain legislators if things happen and give them a chance to comment. And then into that mix are some people who say we should rip away these powers completely, and others who say, well, I don't know that we should do anything at all. So finding consensus has not proven to be a very rapid process. And some voices are noting that the powers are set to expire in April 30th, which is actually not that far off in the future. So the status quo ante here is leaving those in place and letting them expire in about 10 or 9 weeks. So far, still talking in Albany, which is what Albany sometimes does best.
And yesterday, Jimmy, we talked to Rob Ort, the Senate Minority Leader. He said, you know, that this has come up 17 times to put this to a vote, and 17 times it has failed because there's been no Democratic support for it to remove or pull back the governor's emergency powers. He seems to think that Democrats are concerned that if they make a move to rescind the powers and it's, you know, viewed as adversarial toward the governor, that they're somehow going to pay for that, you know, retribution in terms of, you know, the budget or something else. Do you think there's some truth to that?
Well, what we've seen in the last few weeks is that Governor Cuomo's normal pressure tactics on both lawmakers or other people who have dealings before the state government have sort of burst into public view. It's no secret that Governor Cuomo will push hard to try and get what he wants. But now people are talking about it since Assemblyman Ron Kim, one of the loudest Democratic nursing home critics, said that the governor called to threaten him. The governor said that the call happened, but that the governor did not, in fact, threaten Mr. Kim's career. So Republicans, including Senator Ort, have tried to push this point. They actually have several Democrats in government who agree with their position, who have sponsored legislation that supports their position. But the idea of doing it against sort of the existing Democratic power structure is not particularly appealing. The overall question of whether or not the state legislature is going to assert itself against Governor Cuomo in a significant way, I think, is still an open one. Democratic lawmakers are talking tough, but so far they haven't acted. I think that there are real questions about how the current situation affects the power dynamic between the branches of government as the state ponders a $193 billion budget and considers bills to legalize marijuana or do a host of other things.
The governor will continue to make the point, and it's true, that the legislature does have the power to rescind any of these orders, and they have not done so a single time. Is there any worry amongst legislators of, having lost all of their teeth, all of their, you know, any sort of assertive power that they have in the past year? Because not only are they backing off now from rescinding some of these powers, but if you look back at the history of the last year, there's been no effort to, you know, raise a hand and say, hold up on any of these orders.
Well, yes, I do think that there is a sentiment among some legislators, more Republicans, I think probably most Republicans and some Democrats, that they have been diminished, that they have essentially walked off the field during the pandemic and let Governor Cuomo, given him lots of leeway, which was, many say, perhaps appropriate in the first weeks and months, of the pandemic, but its purpose has now waned a little bit. Again, you're getting into a situation where even if there's a sentiment and a statement, it's a leap to get from that point to enacting a new legal framework to do things. Well, we did see legislators over the summer and into the fall convene to pass certain bills that adjusted state election practices, that adjusted housing practices, and shielded people from evictions. We saw legislation that peeled back some of the liability protections that were given to healthcare institutions like hospitals and nursing homes at the start of the pandemic. So while legislators haven't completely left behind their lawmaking abilities, it's certainly an open question as to how assertive they will be both in this moment and in the near future as these other major policy proposals become ripe for action.
We're speaking live with Jimmy Vielkind of The Wall Street Journal. Jimmy, at a day-long hearing yesterday with the state health commissioner, Howard Zucker was not under oath, but did he provide any clarity on questions about the March 25th mandate or on who made the decision to withhold data for 6 months?
He has said repeatedly, and he said yesterday, that the March 25th order was essentially enacted to preserve hospital capacity in the state, and that it was consistent with federal guidance at the time. This is something that Governor Cuomo himself has repeated several times as criticism of this order has risen. And one thing that I thought was interesting was that Dr. Zucker also expanded and reiterated a point that the health department put into a July report. He says that the coronavirus entered nursing homes predominantly through infected staff members, and that's based on a statistical analysis of when people became infected in the homes and when they later passed away. He said time and again that that was the primary driver, and that's his word, the driver of the infection moving through nursing homes. The question, though, is whether or not the March 25th order was, if not the primary driver, then some kind of driver or some kind of contributor. And on this point, Dr. Zucker seemed to make something of a definitive statement that he didn't believe it was responsible. And then he dialed it back and said perhaps one death or perhaps some death was caused as a result of this order. He said much less about the ongoing investigation and about why records were delayed, citing the ongoing investigation. State Senator Tom O'Mara, a Republican from the Southern Tier, asked Zucker about this quite pointedly. The health commissioner didn't offer a clear response, but he did say that this matter is under review by the Justice Department. People familiar with the matter have told the Wall Street Journal that federal prosecutors based in Brooklyn in February have requested data from the state on the number of nursing home deaths, when they occurred and where they occurred, and that this is the beginning of an inquiry that has already prompted the Cuomo administration to go into a defensive mode.
Adding to all of that, you have kind of expanded upon a description of allegations of sexual harassment from a former person who works closely with Governor Cuomo. Where does this go from here? How are people in Albany expecting this to be investigated?
Well, that's the big point. There are now increasing calls from Democrats and Republicans, and indeed a growing number of Democrats, for some type of independent investigation. No one seems to have a great answer as to who would conduct that investigation. It seems that the authority most clearly falls with JACOB, which is the state's ethics commission. It was created in 2011, and it's supposed to oversee both the executive branch and the legislative branch. But it has done a lackluster job in dealing with accusations of sexual harassment, and that's according to women and men who have filed complaints that have been vetted by the agency. And there's also concern that leaders of the agency have close ties to Governor Cuomo. The chair of the commission, the last several chairs, have all been people who at one point worked for the governor, and the top staff and employees of the commission also are veterans of Mr. Cuomo's office in some capacity. Republicans are calling for State Attorney General Letitia James to appoint a special prosecutor to look into the matter, and they've been joined in that call by some Democrats. So far, we've heard no word from Ms. James, who, of course, listeners might remember, sort of kicked off this recent iteration of the nursing home scandal when she published a report on January 28th, which said that the state seemed to be undercounting the number of deaths it attributed to long-term care facilities around the state. So I think the next step will be some type of probe by some entity, because I believe that in the coming days, we're only going to hear more calls for an investigation by more voices, both in the state legislature and in New York politics writ large. People who have in the past spoken up for victims of sexual harassment have not yet chimed in. One who comes to mind is U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who, of course, set a very, very, very clear standard for former U.S. Senator Al Franken when he was accused of sexual harassment by several women in 2019. I actually don't remember if it was 2019 or 2020. It's been so long, so long ago.
It does seem that way. You know, Jimmy, by the way, we're speaking with Jimmy Vilkind, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, covering politics in Albany. You've covered the Cuomo administration for a long time, politics in Albany for a long time. Does it surprise you at all that all of these things we're talking about, you know, the controversies, the scandals around this, yet for the average New Yorker kind of watching things from afar, nothing is changing. I mean, the governor still goes on TV and gives his updates and makes these rules. And all of this noise in the background, it seems to be exactly that. It's in the background. It's not really having any impact on the day-to-day goings-on.
We have to find out how this will sit with the public, and I don't think we yet have a very good sense of that. On the one hand, you're right. There is no action. There's talk, but so far no tangible action. We will have to see if there is an investigation into Ms. Boylan's accusations and where that investigation leads, what it finds, and what actions happen as a result. And we have to see how the state legislature acts again during the budget process and whether it does reassert itself in a more formidable manner as it considers the governor's executive powers. But people say that all of this press, all of this news coverage, it will start to take a toll in the minds of voters. Already we've seen the governor's job approval rating drop 10 points from January, according to the Siena College poll and some other surveys which found a similar result. And it's down more than almost 40 points from its high point in April. You have to remember that Andrew Cuomo, his star really rose quite high on a national level. At one point in December, he was being considered for appointment as U.S. Attorney General by President Biden. Certainly, that stratospheric level of approval has receded quite a bit. I think the open question will be how much this sits in the minds of New Yorkers. What level of support and what benefits of any doubts they were willing to give Governor Cuomo? And then the ultimate question will come next year if Governor Cuomo runs as he's expected to do for a fourth term and whether or not there will be serious electoral challenges or successful electoral challenges in both a Democratic primary in June or in the general election in November.
Where is Congressman Tom Reed on Albany's radar? He told us this week he's seriously considering a run for governor.
He is. He's one of several Republican candidates who are publicly saying that they are considering a run. Congressman Reed has traveled to Albany. He is dealing with forces in his own Republican Party that is split by President Trump, or I guess former President Trump at this point. And so Reed, along with Mark Molinaro, the Dutchess County executive, and the GOP's 2018 candidate, are talking about a run, as is Janice Dean, a Fox News meteorologist, who said she's considering a run for office. So the problem that Congressman Reed faces is that while he is a known figure in Western New York and in Buffalo, his statewide profile is still relatively small. And as the other problem that he has, as any candidate from Western New York or Buffalo has, is that the majority of people in the state, of course, live in New York City and its suburbs on Long Island and in the Hudson Valley. I believe that Congressman Reed will have to do more work to make himself better known in those areas where the majority of voters live, if he's going to be successful in a primary or in a general election campaign.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for the time this morning. Always great to catch up with you. That's Jimmy Vielkind, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, joining us live.